happiest of New Year's to you, Riverside, and I mean that for real with all of my heart. I know a year is a arbitrary amount of time and years don't have personalities, but I know all of us are hoping that 2021 is a kinder and friendlier year than 2020 has been in a whole lot of ways. So Happy New Year. We hope that your holiday time has been a time of blessing for each and every one of you. We're glad you're here with us online to worship this week as we kick off 2021, praising Jesus, giving praise and glory to where we think it belongs, and that's with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining in with us today as we do that. A couple things we want you to know as we're starting off this year, we're continuing to do our serving together. Now, I gotta tell you, this was only supposed to be a one-year thing. We were gonna do it in 2020. Rhonda, our children's minister, had planned all that. But your response during this entire ordeal over the last year has been unbelievable. And so we wanna continue doing this. We've had people ask for opportunities to do more. So we're gonna continue in January. Right now we're starting to collect gift cards. And you can see here for all kinds of stuff, Target, Walmart, clothing stores, all of these going to Traffic 911, which is a great organization that deals and helps young women who have been victims of human trafficking. We would love for you to help in this effort, collecting these gift cards and bringing them up to the church. This is gonna be a fantastic month of helping Traffic 911. It'll be a great effort. We also want you to know about our app, the Bible app, YouVersion. If you don't have the YouVersion app yet, it's the best free Bible app that's out there. We encourage you to get it. And one of the reasons is we post every week on there on Sunday, the notes and the information from what we would usually put in a bulletin. We put the songs for any given week. All of those are on the event page of the YouVersion events app. You can find Riverside Church of Christ every Sunday. It will pop up there. And you can click on there and see all kinds of information that we want you to see each week. So jump on there if you haven't. And just, even if you don't get on the events, get this app. It will increase the amount of time you spend reading the Bible and being in God's Word. And we think that's a fantastic thing. Again, thank you for being with us today. We are so excited as Corey begins a new message series today. We hope that it blesses you as we start this year together.
Good morning, Riverside. Nathan and Michelle here. We're just so thankful that we have been able to spend the last couple weeks here in Texas with family celebrating Christmas and New Year's. We're hoping to spend time with Riverside today to be able to worship together in person. But we just continue to be thankful for the ways that technology have allowed us to continue to meet virtually and worship together in that way.
We just wanted to send y'all a quick video, just reminding you that we love you, we are thankful for you, we're grateful for your love and support that you give us always. Baby and I have been doing well, we're healthy, and we're excited to meet him in March. We are headed back to Athens at the end of this week, and we're just looking forward to seeing the things that God is going to do in 2021 and in the midst of this ongoing pandemic. This year has required a lot of creativity and flexibility with that, but he's done a lot of really awesome things and we're excited to see what 2021 holds.
Yeah, we've been seeing God actually open up a lot of doors this past year, even in despite what the pandemic has caused. And every open door that we've seen, we just believe that that's because of all the prayer that's gone into this. Us and our team, we've been spending a lot of time in prayer the last 2 years, and it's just been such a blessing to see what God's doing in a time where it feels like there's very little that we can do. But we are just so thankful for your love, your support. We just pray for great things, just huge blessings in your life and ministry in 2021. We love you guys. God bless.
Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See Christ's love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. Hallelujah, God. Above it all, hallelujah, God. Unshakable, hallelujah. You have done great things. Hallelujah, God. Above it all, hallelujah. Unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things, you've done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave, you free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things, we dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. You have done great things. O God, you do great things.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year, and welcome to Church Online. Hey, we made it. It's 2021. We made it across the finish line of 2020, and now we have a new year before us, a fresh start. And I hope that as you look forward into this new year, that your spirit is filled with a sense of hope and promise. And I hope that as we enter into this new year, that you can say with confidence that God is always good. I know this past year has been difficult for so many reasons, and I don't want to in any way minimize the pain that anyone has experienced. In fact, I would want you to know that if that's you, if you've come through a season of tremendous difficulty, whether that's because of sickness or the loss of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, whatever it is, I would just want you to know that God knows, God sees, and God cares. I wouldn't want you to give up on God. That's why as we begin this new year together, we want to remember the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the kindness of God. That through every season, every circumstance, every trial, every temptation, every letdown, every disappointment, every setback, every situation, that our God has always been faithful. He's always been good. He's faithful through the ages. In fact, I'd love to start this year with this reminder that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. But if you're anything like me, sometimes you forget that simple yet powerful truth. Sometimes I think I've officially entered into that stage of life where I just have a hard time remembering things in general. The other day, Alicia, my wife, was telling me about a conversation we had had. Maybe this has happened to you. You know, it was one of those where she says, yeah, you know, we talked about this, but to be honest, I had zero recollection of the conversation. Normally, when this happens, It happens because whenever we were talking, I was too distracted with something else to really be listening to her. And then the other day, this happened one morning. I woke up and I went to get my morning coffee like I always do. Only whenever I got into the kitchen, there was coffee all over the counter and all over the floor. It was everywhere. I didn't know what had happened at first. Then I realized what I had done. The night before, I put the coffee in the coffee maker and I added the water like I always do. I set the timer to turn it on and to make the coffee the next morning like I always do. But I was so tired that night, and I realized I had forgotten one critical step in the coffee making preparation process. I had forgotten to put the coffee pot under the coffee maker. So there was coffee everywhere. Not a great way to start your day. Sometimes we forget things because we're distracted. Sometimes we forget things because we're tired. And sometimes we forget things because we're afraid. We've all experienced this in one way or another. Fear is perhaps the greatest source of amnesia for us as human beings. We can be full of faith and confidence, full of hope and promise, and then if something happens that threatens our safety or our health, our relationships, our ability to provide, we forget very quickly. And for those of us who are people of faith, it seems that more often than not, what we forget is our faith. We forget what we believe. Perhaps the greatest danger to our spiritual lives is forgetfulness. And when we forget who God is, what He has done, what He has promised He will do, it leaves us completely open and vulnerable to believe the lies of the enemy, and they are many, and walk away from faith altogether. Over the past year, hundreds, probably thousands of people have walked away from faith. People who were a part of a local church this time last year, but because of the pandemic, they were unable to go to church. They did online church for a bit, but you know what? It just became easier and easier to miss, to say they would watch it on Sunday night or maybe on Monday night. And then, you know what? Something came up and they missed it this week, but you know what? They're going to catch up next week. And now, all of a sudden, the reality is they haven't connected with the church in a month, maybe 2 months. One of Satan's best weapons to use against people of faith has always been to get us disconnected. And you know what? You better believe this pandemic has played right into his hands in that way. In fact, if you're feeling disconnected in any way, for any reason, I would love to just ask you, to invite you, to challenge you to let someone know. Send a text, an email, a message on Facebook, make a phone call, whatever it is you need to do, but reach out and let someone know. Let us know. Because when you become disconnected, you become vulnerable. Becoming disconnected, it's symptomatic of being forgetful. And when we forget who God is and what God has done and who we are and who God says we are and all that God has done for us, it always leads to isolation. And isolation leads to fear, and fear leads to darkness, and darkness leads to sin, and sin leads to shame, which leads to more isolation, darkness, and fear. And then, you know what? Before you know it, you're caught up in a dark, downward spiral. Before you know it, instead of turning to God, you're blaming God. Instead of turning to the church, you're blaming the church for not being there, for not doing more, for not knowing what it is that you're going through and helping you in your time of need, when the truth is, at some point you became disconnected and you forgot. You forgot that God is good, always good, and that His church is good. And if you would just turn to Him, if you would reach out to a brother or sister in Christ, then maybe you would find the help and the hope that you need. But forgetfulness, it's always been a problem for the people of God. You know, it's really amazing when you think about it, when you consider the story of God and how over and over again throughout the story of God, the people of God have forgotten the goodness of God. But God has never forgotten to be faithful. In fact, God has never broke a promise. God has never not been there. God has never given us a reason to doubt His faithfulness. But over and over again, the people of God have forgotten to be faithful. The people of God have broken their promises. I think it's one of the reasons why throughout the Scriptures, there are these reminders all along the way, these reminders to remember that God, your God, He's a faithful God. If the greatest danger to our spiritual lives is forgetfulness, then maybe we need to remember the faithfulness of God. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to open up to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm not sure if you've spent any time reading the pages of Deuteronomy lately, but throughout this ancient text, we have these reminders all along the way about the faithfulness of God. So Deuteronomy is the retelling of the story of Israel leaving captivity in Egypt and preparing to enter into the promised land. It's in Deuteronomy that we have the Ten Commandments and the giving of the law. This is the Word of God for the people of God. This is what sets them apart, what distinguishes them and as the people of God. It's also in Deuteronomy that we have those powerful words in Scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. You may know those words. Those are words that Jesus would one day say. He would quote, reminding his followers just how important it is to love God with everything you are and with everything that you have, and to love others in the same way. And it's in Deuteronomy that we have these powerful reminders of the faithfulness of God. In Deuteronomy 7:9, we have these words. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes His love, His unfailing love, on those who love Him and obey His commands. So right here in this moment, Moses is speaking to Israel, and Moses is reminding all of Israel about who God is. At this point in the story, they've already been delivered from Egypt. These people saw with their own eyes the power of their God on display. They saw all 10 plagues levied against Egypt that ultimately led the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the people of God go free. And when the Pharaoh changed his mind and brought armies to pursue Israel as they were leaving the land, they saw God divide the waters of the Red Sea into two parts. Their feet walked across on the dry riverbed with walls of water on each side. Can you imagine it? And when the last Israelite stepped out of that riverbed with the Egyptian armies in hot pursuit, their chariots, their horses, their soldiers, all of them following behind, they saw the waters of that river crash down from both sides to swallow up their enemies. They witnessed God's deliverance firsthand. They knew the stories because they were there. They were a part of the stories. And then they saw God's continued faithfulness over the next 40 years as they traveled from Egypt to the promised land that God prepared for them. When they were hungry, God provided manna from heaven, bread from heaven, every single day to feed them. When they were thirsty, God provided water for them to drink. And when they didn't know which way to go, God provided a light to guide them on their journey, a cloud by day and a fire by night. And now, after experiencing the continued manifest presence and faithfulness of God for these 40 years, they're here on the doorstep of Canaan, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land where once again they will experience God's faithfulness as God will help them win every single battle, though they're going to be outnumbered and outmatched every time. But as long as they go with God, they will go undefeated. As long as they remain faithful to God, they will experience the favor of God. So Moses gives them this reminder. Before they set one foot in the promised land of God, he calls them to remember. He says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes His love on those who love Him and obey His commands. Don't forget that your God has always been faithful. Even when you weren't faithful, God was faithful. Even when you complained about your situation, God was faithful. Even when you were ready to give up on His promises and return to your slavery in Egypt, God was faithful. Even when you thought you knew better than He did, God was faithful. Even when you disobeyed His commands and His will for you, God was faithful. Even when you lost faith in Him, God was faithful. God has never not been faithful to His people. He has always been faithful. He's always been kind. He's always been good. He's always been with you. He's always been for you. He's always been working all things together for your good and for His ultimate glory. And I wonder today, as we head into a brand new year, if you don't need that same reminder. Have you forgotten the goodness of God? Have you forgotten the faithfulness of God? Could it be that after everything that's happened over the past 12 months, that maybe you've forgotten? That maybe you've forgotten about the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God. This is a picture of Larry and Chrissy Waters. They live in Nova Scotia. One winter, they parked their truck by the lake and they were unloading their four-wheeler to go across it. Larry could see that the lake was covered in snow and there were tire tracks across the lake in the snow. All of that led him to believe the ice was safe to cross. They'd done this before. So he got his wife and they got on the four-wheeler and they took off across the ice. As they were making their way across the lake, their worst fear became a reality. The ice gave way. The four-wheeler rolled over and they went into those icy waters. Larry tried to get out. He was clawing against the ice, but you know what? He couldn't get a grip. There was no way out. He and his wife, Chrissy, were treading water for about 10 minutes when they finally realized, you know what? This is it. There's no way out. There's no way out of the water. There's no one around to help. Larry moved over to his wife in the freezing water. He gave her a kiss, and they were saying their goodbyes. But then Larry's hand brushed up against something under the water against his side. He felt something. It was his Leatherman. You've probably seen this tool before. It's a pair of pliers with a knife inside and some other tools all built into one. It's a little multi-tool. He had forgotten about it, that he had this tool on his hip, on his belt. So he pulled it out. He opened it up. He got a good grip on it. And then he reached over and he lunged himself and jabbed it into the ice. And using that Leatherman as an anchor in the ice, he was able to pull himself up out of the water and then pull his wife out. And they both survived. Sometimes we forget because we're distracted. Sometimes we forget because we're tired. But many times we forget because we're afraid. Fear makes us forget. And when we forget, we often lose hope, just like Larry and Chrissy in those icy waters. It's easy to lose hope when we're afraid, when we're drowning, when it feels like there's no one there to help and no way to get out of the hole we're in. Chrissy would later say in an interview that they were able to survive because of that little tool, that Leatherman. But more than that, she said, because of divine intervention. And maybe today you need that same reminder. I know I do. That there is a God who intervenes on your behalf. That our God is always working, intervening in our lives for our good and for His ultimate glory. That our God is a faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes His unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands. If the greatest danger to your spiritual life is forgetfulness, today it's my prayer that you will remember that our God is always good, and our God is always faithful. This is who He is. He has never not been good. He has never not been faithful. And maybe today you need to take that verse and write it down, put it somewhere where you can see it every day. Maybe this is one of those verses that you want to commit to memory this month and memorize so you have it there inside your head, inside your heart. Maybe this week you need to just pray, God, give me faith to trust you, to trust what you say, that you're good, that your love is great. Whatever it is for you, whatever spiritual practice works for you, I pray that you'll take a practical step that helps you practice remembering the faithfulness of God. It's my prayer that as we begin this new year, that we will remember who God is and that we'll step into this new year as people of faith. It will be so easy to step into this new year with a lack of confidence. It will be easy to step into this new year with a sit back and let's see what happens approach. It would be easy to circle the wagons and play it safe. But what would we do? How would we live if we truly believed that our God is always good, that our God is always faithful, that He is with us and He is for us? What if we lived this year full of faith, believing that our God is good? He's always good. He's always faithful. He's faithful through the ages. I pray as we enter into this new year that we will enter full of faith. Let's pray. God, this is our confession, that you are always good and that you are always faithful. And we say that with humble hearts. We say that with faith and with confidence that that is who you are. But we also acknowledge that sometimes we don't live like we believe that you are good and you are faithful and you are kind. And so we pray, God, forgive us. We pray, like some have prayed before, help our unbelief. Give us faith. Help us to remember and to know that you are good, that you are kind, that you are faithful, that we can trust you. You have never broken a promise. You have never not been faithful. You've never given us a reason to doubt you. Yet so many times we find ourselves living because full of fear, full of doubt, full of confusion, because we're distracted, because we're tired, because we're afraid. I don't know, God, but I pray that you would help us to step into this new year as people full of faith. God, this is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks, Corey, for that incredible message as we start off this year as people who remember. We pray that our memories will be strong this year. I was thinking about all this. You know, I never considered myself growing up much of a video game kid. I played them. We had video games, but it wasn't something I did all the time. I didn't spend a lot of time at it. But every once in a while now, I'll sit down with my kids and they'll hand me a controller and we'll play a video game together. And when I do, when I get that controller in my hand, it all comes back. Just the memory of having a controller in your hand. And there are certain games that I think I could play with my eyes closed now because I did the same movements over and over again when I was a child. And all these memories come flooding back of being a kid and the nostalgia of having fun playing video games with your friends and your siblings. All that comes back when I hold that controller in my hands. Isn't that crazy how memories work? How connected they are so often to the things that we do. One little action can remind you of a story or a great time or a hard time in your life. Whether it's throwing a ball or riding a bike, whether it's opening a door that goes into a place that you're familiar with. Just those little moments and little movements that spark our memories. We are people who are driven by those kind of memories. Those things come flooding back to us. And God knows that about us. Jesus knew that about his disciples and the people that followed him. He also knows that we struggle sometimes with our memories. We have selective memories. And we let certain things kind of drift away, or we get distracted from some of the things that we should remember, as Corey reminded us. And so God, in his infinite wisdom, has always given his people certain actions to do. Certain things that they could follow through with, and if they did them on a daily basis, it would remind them of who he is and what he's done for them. And we have those too, right? Jesus has given us certain actions to do. And every week, especially when we gather together, we do one of those that we call the Lord's Supper. We eat a kind of a ceremonial meal together, just two simple elements. We take them from a basket or a tray, and we bring them to our mouths, just like we would eat anything, that motion of eating a meal. And that's supposed to do something more than just nourish us or give us something to taste. It's supposed to spark memory. It's supposed to spark something in our hearts. And when I think about this, I think of the Apostle Peter, one of the disciples of Jesus, who was with him in his ministry and was even with him right up about to the point that he was killed on the cross. Right about then, Peter kind of drifts off into the background a little bit. And he has this moment where he denies that he even knows Jesus. Three times he's asked if he was one of the disciples of Jesus, and he says no. In kind of the most crucial moment of Jesus's ministry, him being crucified on the cross, Peter denies him. But after Jesus is resurrected from the dead, in the Gospel of John, we get this gorgeous story of Jesus coming to a lake where there's fishermen out fishing, and Peter's one of them. And Jesus has this moment where he does this miracle. He tells them where they need to fish to catch a huge amount of fish. And they do that. And all of a sudden they start realizing what's going on. All right, this is Jesus on the shore. And so they hurry to shore. Peter especially hurries back. And when they get there on the shore, Jesus has prepared a meal. It's fish and bread and a fire. And they sit down and they eat this meal together. And right after the meal's over with, Jesus pulls Peter aside. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. And he does that three times. For each of the three denials that Peter made for Jesus, Jesus now reinstates him and says, hey, I've got plans for you. I'm going to build my church on you. And I wonder what it was like for Peter every time he sat down to a meal with fish and bread and around a fire. I wonder if all the memories of that moment came flooding back to him. See, that's the beauty of this supper that we take every week. It's the beauty of being able to remember all that Jesus has done for us. When we take each of these elements, this bread, and we put it in our mouths, we're supposed to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made of his body and his blood, so that we could be freed from the slavery to the fear of death, slavery to sin, to the powers of this world. Jesus Christ has overcome them all. And so what I want you to do, if you haven't already, this is a great moment for you to gather together the elements for you to take at home. But find you some unleavened bread, find you some grape juice, and sit down. And I want us to take that meal together. Go, I'll wait for you. Just come on back when you get everything put together. We'll pray and take those elements together. So let's pray. Father, we cannot love you more. We try. We want our hearts to overflow with just absolute gratitude and love for you, for all that you've done for us, for all that your Son has done for us, for the body that he sacrificed, for the blood that he shed, for the opportunity that he's given us to have hope to live eternally with you, the ways that he has showed us what it means to be truly human. Lord, we pray that we never take that for granted, that every time we sit at a meal, as we eat with other people, that we would be reminded of all that you've done through Jesus Christ. It's in his holy and precious name we pray. Amen. You know, another thing we do every day is we pay for stuff. We use money. We're part of the systems of commerce in our world, right? Whether it's with a card or with cash, we're always using the things that we're given to buy or to help others. That's one of those actions, pulling out that card, pulling out that cash. That's something we do all the time. Well, what if we connected that action of using money, of using our gifts and our talents, using our material possessions? What if we connected that with all that God has done as well? Just that motion. Every time we went to pay for something, every time we went to give something to somebody else, we were reminded of all that we've been given by God. This is a moment typically in our worship where we take up an offering. And right now we're doing that online. We invite you to jump on our website to the Give tab, and you can give online there. We also have the opportunities to give each month in our serving together. We have opportunities to practice uncommon generosity, and we would love for you to continue to do that during this time. Not because it makes you look good, not because it makes our church look good, but because of all that we've been given by God. May our actions remind us of all that God has done for us. Thank you for being with us today. We really think that this is going to be a great year. We look forward to all that God is doing in and through you this year. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again soon.